Sox. All right, listen, it is Wednesday. It's 2:30, and it's time to talk to the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Our interview with Cora is brought to you by Arbella Insurance. Alex, how are we doing today, Cincinnati?
Man, you changed that. Your interview with Cora is so polite. It used to be interview with AC. Wow.
I don't think I've ever dropped an AC on you once in a while. Once in a while, maybe, but I can't. I can't go with that. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we were just debating this. I know Aaron Judge, you're going to see him here tomorrow night. I don't know how you feel about the end of the career of one Barry Bonds, but is this the home run record to you? Is this the greatest offensive season in the history of the game, as Buster Olney just called it?
Man, I saw the one in what year was that? 02, 03? Well, I forgot what year
it
was.
I mean, you can pick one. 01, 02, 04, 03,
well,
whatever.
I saw them all because I was playing with the Dodgers, and it was unreal. And, the intentional walks, I think that's what made it so great, because he actually wasn't getting pitches to hit when he was going through his thing, right? He was getting intentionally walked 3-4 times a game, and then – he'll get one pitch and hit it out of the ballpark, you know, and one at bat. So that was that for me, you know. With all due respect to Aaron and what he's doing, you know, what Bonds did in the past, those years in San Fran, that was, I mean, the best I ever seen.
Yeah, and just the last comment that he mentioned in that podcast was the advent of analytics. The introduction of like weight training and, you know, pitching's bullpen better, arms and, said, yeah, you know, and all the different, you know, pitches that you have to face and how hard they throw.
No, I understand that. But I think now that we see it, right, we're like, wow, you know, these guys are throwing really hard. But in 2000 to 2003, 2004, we were probably saying the same thing, like pitching is getting better and better. Yeah. Kevin Brown and Jason Smith and Billy Wagner, you know, like, the evolution of pitching, yeah, it's been going on for forever, right? And, you know, at that time, we thought that we were facing the best of the best. Now, obviously, these guys are facing the best of the best. And in 10 years, I don't even know what they're going to hit. You know, it's going to be 107 with, like, I don't even know. It was going to be unreal. Yeah.
Speaking of pitching, so Garrett Whitlock getting surgery on that hip, how will that affect his position next year? I know you said that, or it was reported that he'll be ready to go for spring training. I guess, does this have any impact on his role with the team in terms of being a starter or being back in the bullpen?
No, we'll see how it goes. And I think one of the reasons he decided to get surgery is to avoid the grind that he was going through the last month and a half. He was always able to pitch, he was able to perform, but it took a lot of work for him to get ready. And I think we did the right thing, just fast forwarding the process, and we'll see how it goes next week, and then we'll talk to the doctors and with medical, and then map out a plan for the offseason. We're not saying he's going to be a starter. We're not saying he's a reliever. He's going to be a pitcher for the Red Sox, and he's going to be a good one. But the most important thing here is to know what he's going to be able to do, and we'll make decisions accordingly.
We had a lot of discussion with Whitlock, what he could be next year. And I don't know, like years ago, I felt like starting pitchers were asked to go out and win you ball games. Now it's almost like keep me in the game and give it to the bullpen. So with that, I'd like to see him stay out there. So I don't know how you feel as a game devalued, like starting pitching to the point where a guy like this might be more valuable to you in your pen?
Well, it all depends how you see it, because the best team in the American League, they got six horses and they're going six innings every night, right? The Houston Astros, and they short up the game the way they do it, right? We always talk about the Astros being, you know, like they have the keys to the car, right? They understand how to pitch and what they do and analytics and all that, and they got Verlander, McCullers, Framber, you know, and, you know, Garcia. So they've done a really solid job doing that. Sometimes we talk about the Rays, you know, like, okay, opening, but they have horses the last few years. So, I mean, I think at the end, we got to put a full pitching staff together. That's the most important thing, right? Like, it really doesn't matter the order or what we do. We have to be solid, and we haven't been solid throughout the season. I was looking today in the numbers, and if you see the walks, right, and we are up there, you know, in a negative way, right, with the walks, and you see the guys on the bottom is like the other four teams in the ALE. So from my end, it, the structure, yeah, it's important, you know, but at the end, we have to throw strikes and we have to get people out.
So I got to ask you about Kevin Plawecki being released. I know there was, I know Nate Evaldi, Rich Hill, they talked to Rob Bradford, had some comments about it. How has that thing gone? Are you surprised it got so much attention at this point in the season?
I do believe so. You know, I hate that the people mention business when you have to make baseball decisions. And the same way we have to move on from Familia because we needed to see other relievers. At this point, you know, we needed to play Reese and Connor more. There's value, too, with Almonte staying here. And people don't see that aspect, right? When you have Almonte on the roster and Ref Nider on the roster, Schreiber on the roster, if you are a journeyman, right, or a 4A guy that is looking for an organization that can give you a chance to come to the big leagues, you look at us and they're like, you know what? If you perform and they see a need, they bring you up, you know. And we love Kevin. I think Kevin is going to be okay, probably sooner rather than later. And he's going to be a big leaguer, and we appreciate everything he did for us. And people have their ideas about timing and all that. The only thing I can tell you from my end, I remember being with like 15 or 18 people there in the clubhouse after the decision was made, and we had a few drinks, and we talked about, you know, the last year and this year and, you know, with Kevin. So, you know, all this thing about, we're split up in this, whatever. Yeah, people have opinions, but at the end of the day, we're still family. We have a great culture. And like I said, we wish Kevin nothing but the best.
I guess I was surprised Nate kind of brought up Renfro and Schwarber and saying that, like, those guys are important. And obviously, Heim didn't bring those guys back. Is that a conversation you need to have with Nate? Being like, hey, you know, you can be outspoken, but just be careful with what you say publicly?
I'm not careful. I think you have to go to the people that, you know, make decisions, right? And he understood that. You know, we talked to him. I talked to him right away. You know, somebody texted me at 7 in the morning with all this stuff. And, you know, I appreciate them for the wake-up call. But I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized Rob had an article and all that and the quotes and all that. I talked to Nate about it. And he understands, you know, he understands where I was coming from. And everything is good. You know, sometimes emotions take over, right? And when they put that mic right after, you know, an emotional decision, you know, I'm not saying he didn't think about it, but you react a little bit too quick, you know, and in my opinion, that's what happened.
All right, so we're talking to Alex Cora, and I'm sure Rob Bradford's going to be so happy that his name was mentioned during this interview. I'm just going to say hi to Rob. The question I have for you is, like, okay, so a lot of talk about Bale. I remember the first time he pitched, you know, we talked to you about it, and, you know, it's been a while since his first start, and he's got, you know, a second career victory. But what's been the biggest change for him? I mean, the biggest difference? Has it been physically or has it been mentally?
I believe the mental part of it is the biggest change. I still remember, you know, in say second one in Tampa, they start getting hits again. You know, they load up the lineup with lefties, and you see him in the tunnel kind of like, what's going on? You know, I've been dominant for X amount of months, you know, and this is happening. And little by little, you know, he keeps evolving, you know, in the sense that he's using different pitches in different counts. He has a four-seamer now. The slider is a lot better. You know, yesterday changeup wasn't great, so he used his slider and he got some swings and misses. He's not afraid to try new stuff. Everybody knows the story about Rich Hill, kind of like teaching him the curveball, and he threw, I think it was three or four against I think it was the Royals, right? So he's a kid that he gets it. He understands, you know, he's not afraid to ask questions, which is the most important thing. He's learned that what he did yesterday is in the past, and now he has to start getting ready for Sunday. You know, he'll see what was good yesterday, what went well, which pitches worked the right way, what we need to get better. And he starts visualizing, you know, the Yankees on Sunday. And it should be fun on Sunday. I'm looking forward for him to go up there. And, you know, it's a big challenge, but a challenge that he will accept. And I think he's going to be okay.
Alex, real quick, I saw this report that you said Tommy Pham is the best fantasy football man.
That's what they say GM. Here. I mean,
that's what they said unreal. In the clubhouse. Do you have any concerns about within your clubhouse, you know, making sure guys aren't in the same league together on Sundays?
These guys are in the same league, all of them. So I think the league here has 12 teams. So so far, no problems, you know. We've been fine.
Hey, Alex, last one for me. I know we talked about Cassis before. Are you keeping him away from left-handed starters? You know, just
the one yesterday, that was. I mean, it's a balance, right? Like, we have to play the other guys, but he will play. But that kid yesterday, he was pretty good. You know, like, his stuff was elite, and that's it. Yesterday was more about the lefty on the mound than actually give him rest or giving somebody else a chance. You know, but he'll be back, and I think we face Cortez in New York.
Yeah.
He'll face him. He'll face him. It's just a matter of, you know, you have to create balance. And, you know, there's value too, Lou. Like, you know, how many times he has pinch hit in his career in the minor leagues? None, right? So at one point, you're going to get off days and you're going to have to learn how to pinch hit. You're going to have to learn how to come out of the bench, you know, and it's all a learning experience. But he'll play against some lefties here.
So with him, obviously you want a guy to control the strike zone. But is it get to the point, too, where you're like, okay, let's – maybe be more aggressive within the strike zone, so he can handle the stuff in the strike zone?
No, I think it's just a learning process, and this kid is going to hit. You know, his swing decisions are really good. I hate to compare players, but when Rutschman got to the big leagues, it was the same deal, right? He didn't get results, but he stayed in his zone, and now you see him. I'm not saying they're going to be the same player, but I do believe with time, Tracer is going to get his pitches. He's not going to miss him, and he's going to be okay.
All right, listen, good luck out in Cincinnati and then on to New York, and I hope we'll talk to you next week. Looking forward to it.
Be well. Talk to you guys.
All right, it is. Alex Cora. Conversations brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the WEEI Red Sox Network. You know those reports about Fenway Sports Group wanting to be involved in the NBA, maybe out in Vegas? Well, we might have another team for them. We'll explain next.